Welcome everybody back to the Spokecast. Johnny Cashmere here. Let's bring in our people. What's up, Donnie B? Welcome back, brother.
Hey, brothers. How are you?
Good to see you, bro. We missed you last week, man. Us doing this without you is not
acceptable. I know. I tried. I'm sorry. Real life got in the way.
What's that?
Well, pro life is a work. Pro wrestling is real. I coined that phrase.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of a work, what's up, Tommy Grayson?
Whoop, whoop, Tommy Grayson in the house, and you know, life is a work, but that's a shoot.
I love it. Speaking of work, brother, what have you been working on the last week, Tommy Grayson?
Well, it's been a lot longer than a week, and for those of you who are not aware, we got the Season 2, Episode 1 premiere of Trip TV, which, of course, was just dropped in the comment section right below. It's going to be premiering in just about 58 minutes. And the episode of, or the title of this episode, I should say, is an important one. It's called The Gold Rush, which, if you know anything about your history, when we as Americans decided to expand, it was in pursuit of gold and manifest destiny, which is all about the backseat boys and what we've been doing lately.
Exactly. So there's going to be a lot of good footage tonight, Donnie. You're going to like it. It's we're going to air it at exciting. 8 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, everyone, you head on over to SPO Wrestling on YouTube and you can watch it. It's set to premiere at 8 o'clock exactly. But of course, we have the big face off coming up. Check this out, you guys. That is right now. We are here. It is happening. Simon Gotch and Rick Effin Blade will both be joining us shortly, everybody. And we've also promised not one, but two matches announced for November 2nd. Guys, what do you say we announce one match here on the Spokecast and we make them wait to watch Trip TV to see the announcement of the second match? Do you think that's fair?
I think that's more than fair. I mean, you know, we're giving them two matches as it is. You know, I think that they could wait in between, you know, the two presents that they receive. They don't need two presents at once. You could, you know, get your little stocking stuffer and then, you know, let that hold you over for your main present, which is going to be under the Trip TV tree in just a little bit.
Very nice. I can't wait. I'm excited as hell for that. But guys, so we have the big Roll the Dice event coming up November 2nd. We're going to announce a new match, but here's the official event poster so far, everybody. Check this out. A lot of good looking people on that poster. Donnie, check that out.
That's
Christina Marie.
Yeah.
What a picture of Christina Marie. I've never seen her look more breathtaking. I hate to say it, but I could say the same thing about Face in that picture.
Yep. Those are really good pictures. You know what I mean? Like, you have shitty pictures sometimes of indie talent. Those pictures make the talent look way more picturesque. They look like stars in those photos. Every one of them.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
Yours is cool too. Yeah, man. Every one of those is a great picture.
Yeah. And Goldberg will have the actual WWF light heavyweight title there for everybody to see, which is kind of cool. So you can meet Goldberg. Tasha Steeles from TNA. I met her in person at the GCW event at Harrah's. And guys, she's just drop dead beautiful in person. Like, she reminds me of like a young Tracy Bingham, Donnie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like she is just, the picture does not do her justice. I'm so excited to watch her versus Christina for the women's title.
She can Jim Molyneux.
Yeah. She's going for the women's belt. So we'll see what happens. But there's Simon Gotch down the bottom. He's going to be with us shortly, everybody. We're going to have Simon on here shortly. And Donnie, when Blade comes on later, wait till you see the clip we found of Rick Blade from CZW from his wedding night. We're going to show that a little bit later.
Oh, I got to see that.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you see that. That's going to be great. But, guys, so my buddy Danny Rose sent me this. Check these out, Donnie. These are stickers.
Oh, we need those, bro.
I know.
You know what that reminds me of? The Andre the Giant stickers. Remember the Andre sticker that said he has a posse and it was like 7'4", or whatever? That's the gimmick. You got to put those everywhere.
The old Banksy paintings that with Andre that would later get reused in Obey.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. Those stickers, we're going to bring these stickers with us on the tour.
That's huge, bro. Yep. Put them everywhere.
These stickers will be available on ICP's Train of Terror tour. Don't forget to get your tickets now. I think that there's a couple of the dates that actually have been sold out for the Train of Terror tour.
When you guys leave for that?
We are actually leaving. Yeah, we're leaving next week. I think we're going on the road Monday. And then I believe the first show is the 23rd. So that's a Wednesday. So, but I mean, you know, we're heading out to Detroit and then traveling to Tennessee. So, you know, that's nice. A lot of time on the road.
But, bro, this is like Johnny will tell you, that's the life, bro. I mean,
it is.
This is what you guys signed up for. You know, that's what we signed up for. Yeah, bro.
It's what we signed up for. And, you know, this is going to be for the first time, you know, the most consecutive wrestling all of us will have done my brother and I ever, and Johnny, unless you had more consecutive wrestling dates over in Japan, you know, I believe it's the most consecutive bookings you'll have, you know, taken up to a time at a point too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, we're looking forward to it.
That's reps. Like Johnny, like, I mean, any of the, ask Simon Gotch when he comes on, the key to getting better is reps. I'm not knocking any of the companies, but when you see a lot of stuff on some of the shows that are out there now, and there's a lot of shit that just looks a little questionable, you go, oh, Christ. And then you go, well, wait a minute. These guys are only wrestling 3 or 4 times a month, if that.
Right.
If anybody worth their salt is going to tell you, but it's a double-edged sword. Getting reps, but good reps and proper and safe reps is the key. Not dangerous reps every single night, but those proper reps, man, that's what gets guys better.
Yep.
That's a fact. Yep.
Without a doubt, man. And that's the thing. We're ready to go on tour, but we got to still keep this train rolling too. So next Tuesday, we're already going to be on the road. So we're going to try to check in, but we need to find someone to host next Tuesday that we can definitely count on to be here. Like Phil is under the weather. Just got back from, I believe he was in Texas for Wrestling Revolver.
Well, he should be all right by next Tuesday, unless he's got, you know.
He should be all right, but
yeah.
Well, he's got his physical therapy and
Well, let's see what happens. Worst case, we have to push it off or skip a week. That's fine.
We can't skip a week because we got the show coming up.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So if Phil can't do it,
I don't know how to host. I mean, I don't know how to blame him on here as me, but
listen, Brian Logan was going to be on tonight, but he had to work late.
Yeah.
I think he might be the guy. If he could guarantee to be here next Tuesday to actually act as host, because he's got the setup at his house and he listens to so many podcasts that I have a feeling he'll be really good.
That's fine. Coach, even with some Coach kind of loose outline.
Coach C said, bring back Raleigh Allen next week. Actually, Donnie,
that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get him, if you can sign him
as a guest for next week.
And then what I'm thinking is the week after, what if, and this was Tommy Grayson's idea.
Well, it wasn't just my idea. It was a mutual idea that myself and Mr. John Paul came up with, but go ahead.
Mark.
We're going to ask Danger Ginger and BJ if they want to host the Spocast the Tuesday.
Oh.
He already, look, DG no, and I could handle
that's
it.
That's clever.
Yeah, so if they want to do a, okay, there you go. Look, they're already beating us to it in the chat, these guys. They're this offering before we could even ask them.
Do you guys want to host the Tuesday prior to Roll the Dice? So that would be Tuesday.
It'd be a taking it home.
Taking it home. So on 10/29.
We would get a live sketch of someone, because that's our gimmick with taking it home. And these guys can host the preview show. So instead of them doing their own preview show, they can do this one. So anyway, we'll see. Hopefully they'll do that for us. But that'll all be coming up in the next 2 weeks, everybody. So tonight we have Simon Gotch, Rick Blade. They're going to talk. They're going to see each other. And it's not, you know, it's not like these guys hate each other or anything. Don't expect them to get on here and start cursing at each other. This isn't going to be corny. These are adults.
Yeah.
We were going to do one anyway. All right, guys. So, you know, if you guys would like to do one anyway, then, you know, just do it live on the Spocast 1029 if you guys are up for it. You know, we'd love to have you guys. We think that, you know, you guys have really helped grow the SPO fandom and the SPO universe into what it is today. We wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for guys such as yourself who motivate us to keep pushing out, you know, weekly content. So, you know.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, guys, we'll go ahead and what do you say we announce the first match? And we do it in honor of Ginger and BJ. We're going to announce. Here it is, everybody. Ready?
Let's do it up.
The rematch. Homeless Juan. Versus Calculated Kurt Robinson. You know, Kirk kind of had his way with Vaughn last time, so Vaughn requested a rematch. It's got to happen.
Yeah, and, you know, if you guys saw Trip TV season one, which, by the way, you know, shouts out to everyone for checking out the first season recap in its entirety a couple weeks ago. That was honestly the most fun. It was honestly like watching like Raw live, but watching your own show that you put together. But yeah, if you guys saw the recap, Kurt really did have his way with Vaughn. You know, he got in some stiff headshots. You know, he hit Vaughn below the belt and, you know, he captured the W. Obviously Joe Clean came and, you know, kind of cleaned his clock a little bit, but I don't think that Vaughn left that night with his head held high. I think he held, you know, his head low and this is, I think this is personal for Vaughn. I think he is fighting for his dignity and his sanity. Cause it's probably all he has left if he has anything at this point. I was
gonna say, as much dignity as a homeless man can have.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Someone who sleeps under the ring, but I mean, the people love him.
They move,
you know,
the ring. Yeah, I just was wondering about that. What happens when they take the ring down? They're kind of taking his house away, right?
Probably.
It's loud under the ring. I don't know how he sleeps under there. God bless.
Get a GoFundMe going for this guy or something, will you?
We really should.
All he has to do is pretend to be an indie wrestler with some kind of ailment or fake disease or some fictitious surgery and just do a GoFundMe, he'll get at least $5,000 from Jericho.
I was just about to say that.
I'm only ribbing. I think that is so cool when he does that, man.
Like, hell yeah.
People have their thoughts on Chris. I never met Chris, but obviously many of my friends have, and I applaud him every time he donates to anything, man. It's so cool. Yeah. But you never hear about that shit. Everybody wants to heal him and say whatever, but motherfucker steps up every single time somebody's in need, dude.
Hey, Johnny. So you remember how last week we were doing some of the wrestling trivia?
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and you know, hit him with some wrestling trivia?
Yeah. Donnie, we did some good trivia last week, bro.
Let's hear it.
All right. First question, you guys. You ready? So answers go in the chat. And don't forget, we're still going to announce another match at during Trip TV at 8 o'clock, everyone.
So Am I allowed to answer?
Yeah, you can answer. Okay. Hell yeah. All right. Here we go. First question. At which event did the first ever Money in the Bank match take place?
What do you mean, a pay-per-view? Wasn't it called Money in the Bank?
Nope. That came later.
It was, what do I know?
Put it in the chat, everybody.
Jericho invented that too. We were just talking about him. I didn't do that.
He did.
Yeah. Pretty cool. I don't know. I'll say Fastlane. I just made that up, but.
Nope. Give up?
Yeah, I can't think of it.
Danger Ginger got it. WrestleMania 21.
WrestleMania goes Hollywood.
Yep. Anyone know what? He switched it to 22. Sorry, Ginger, no. You messed that one up. And what year? Do you know what year that was?
05.
21. Yeah, 05. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Good. Very good. All right.
Now, I know the winner of the match. Does anyone know the winner of the match?
Was it Jack Swagger?
No, later on. Oh, 05.
Oh, sorry.
First ever Money in the Bank winner. Yeah, who the heck would it have been? Was it Jericho?
No, it wasn't Jericho.
He never won it.
Close.
I don't know. Danger Ginger guessed Edge.
It was Edge.
Damn.
Wow.
He's good. Yep,
it was Edge. He would go on to hold it for almost a year, and he would cash it in New Year's Revolution 2006 against John Cena after the Elimination Chamber. Yep, there you go. Bingo.
I think we picked the right host for 2 weeks from tonight, guys. Gee,
Ginger, you're the man.
Good job, Ginger. Last week, Harold Pollack just got every one of them right. It was making me sick. All right, we got a new one here. All right, I think you're going to get this one, Donnie, so you may have to abstain. All right, so since his debut, which WrestleMania did Undertaker not wrestle on?
I know the answer. I'm curious if anyone else is going to know. Right?
WrestleMania 40. I don't think he wrestled on that.
No, he technically appeared. He was in the dog and pony at the end.
I think they just mean up until the end of a streak.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I know.
WrestleMania 35.
Nope.
No idea.
No. Anyone? Anyone? Oh, I didn't even check the comments.
I'm not good with this kind of trivia, like dates and who did, like, you know, ask me about angles from World Class or whatever. I got that, but.
Well, that we need Brian on here for that, for the historian stuff.
Well, who cares about France?
All right. So if you guys give up, it was WrestleMania 10.
He didn't work at 10?
Mm-mm. No, that was Savage. Savage and Crush Falls Count Anywhere was like the big attraction match for that.
Do you remember the finish of that? I remember the finish of Savage Crush Falls Count Anywhere.
Yeah, he hung him by his feet.
Finishes. Yeah, hung him by his feet and wrote, he also picked him up in the air. I love that finish.
So did I.
He also didn't work 2000 because he that was when he was on injury. He left being the Ministry of Darkness taker, and right before he came back as the bite as the American Badass, so he missed 2000.
Oh wow, that makes sense. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, now I'm a big Undertaker fan, but I like the Ministry taker. Like pretty much right up until he tosses Foley off the cage. Until Vince buries him alive. That's my era of Undertaker. I appreciate early Taker and I appreciate later Taker, but to me, prime Undertaker, when he was at his scariest, was when he blended the supernatural element with like who he was in real life.
See, I thought original Undertaker with Paul Bearer and all that, like the funeral parlor and Brother Love, and I thought that was cool shit. Like that's to me, you know, Undertaker. I appreciate all the different incantations of him and all the different versions and the way he was able to recreate himself several times over and then would recreate himself into something that he recreated himself into earlier or like later.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man. But the one thing about Taker I always loved, dude, is he was the gimmick 24 hours a day. Like I'm not knocking anybody. Like it wasn't, he's the Undertaker. And then he's like Braun Strowman, like playing with a bunny or wearing a tutu or something on Twitter or frolicking in the ocean water and shit like that. Like the Undertaker said, you know, he knew what he was doing. He sacrificed real life, wore gimmick, like wore black and sunglasses shit out in public. I think that's what's missing a lot in wrestling, dude.
Yeah. Like
I don't want to see Jacob Fatu sitting at an IHOP with glasses reading the newspaper at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, like before a show and asking for some Grey Poupon. You know, I don't want to see that. I know it's hard. These guys have to be real people. But I remember after that Wyatt thing a couple months ago, there was a picture on social media of all the Wyatt people like at a fucking rest stop or something afterwards. And they were all like out of gimmick and they're smiling with fans and stuff. And I'm just like, hey, bro, like, what are you doing? Like, it's hard enough to get shit over. And the people know the deal with the business, but you still don't have to come out and just be like, ha ha. And I know some goofs and marks will say like, oh, what about Tom Cruise? You don't believe he's really, you know, Ethan Hunt or whatever from Mission Impossible, you know, that's fake. It's just different. You know, that's keep some goddamn mystery to the business. That's my opinion. What do I know?
Well, we just got Donnie's 15 minutes.
There you go. I like it. I like it. Donnie, is anyone a fan of American Horror Story?
Never seen an episode.
Oh,
believe it or not.
Well, they're not listening.
I know people like I know about it.
Well, they couldn't get their act together in time, so there's no American Horror Story season this Halloween. But
the
spinoff show, American Horror Stories, has a 5-part arc starting tonight, starring Michael Imperioli.
Really?
Yes, and it looks good. I'm excited to watch it tonight. Me and my cousin Mark are super excited.
So I got a wrestling trivia question real quick.
Bret Hart. I don't know. I just yelled that out.
What deceased wrestler was college roommates of John
Harbaugh,
a.k.a. the Baltimore Ravens coach?
College roommates. So it's not a stoop. It's
got to be somebody around 60.
Who's intelligent and in the wrestling business? Interesting.
Well, I said deceased because I don't want, you know, it's not someone who's alive, so I... Obviously,
well, is he dead?
Yeah, no, it's which, yeah, what deceased wrestler?
Chris Candido.
No,
Candido's too young.
You're not totally far off as far as the era you're thinking, but I'll give you a hint.
No, it's not Shane, no.
I'll give you a hint. He's, I guess, a distant, I don't know if it's relative, but he's a distant member of a wrestling family. Yep, Danger Ginger got it, Brian Pillman.
Oh, I could see that.
Oh, that makes sense, right? Because he played for the Bengals, didn't he?
Wasn't he Cincinnati?
Yeah. Wow.
Cincinnati.
Awesome.
Big Pillman, Mark. I saw his kid on NXT. the Alexia King, like what was
Alexis
that?
King,
Alexis King, right?
Yeah,
pretty cool look, but yeah, I wish him all the best, man. Unfortunately, he's just climbing a fucking tall mountain, dude. It is not. I don't think it's possible. I mean, I applaud him for having a different name and a different approach, but man, the funny thing is that kid could just get over a little bit and just string along. He needs some you know miles on his tires, but if he could just get a little bit more weather beaten and have a reason to pick up that silver-headed wolf cane and become the loose cannon, like they'd have a $1 million gimmick right there, bro. I don't know if he could pull it off, but he's got to be weathered. He's got to go through some Hercules tasks a little bit. He's got to go through some shit before you could just call yourself the loose cannon. But it's right there. Like, it's sitting there right there at some point if he needs to do it.
My brother and I wrestled him and Griff a couple times back, I want to say in 2021. Mm-hmm. You know, so this was at the time he and they were doing the Varsity Blondes gimmick thing. Right before Julia Hart had turned on them. I really enjoyed working the both of them. You know, we had actually rode with Pillman a couple times. So like,
was he a good brother? Is he a good kid?
Yeah, no, he's great. Great sense of humor, really nice. Down to earth. And, you know, we spoke mostly just about, you know, like video games and stuff like that. You know, he's around our age. You know, I definitely see what you were saying as far as him having an uphill battle to climb. I mean, listen, if your father, you know, literally died and you essentially lived in his shadow your entire life, you know, and your entire existence would be, you know, literally I guess in the shadow of your father. I would imagine it's a lot to weigh on anybody. But he never showed any sign of like, thinking that either he was not right. up to the task and he didn't let it change how he treated anybody else around him on his way up. In other words, he was the same, like he still came and sat with us at catering at AEW, you know, he still, you know, would go out of his way. And, you know, like if we were ever booked on shows to, you know, like say that's what's cool. up and yeah, no. So nothing but love for Pillman's Jr.
The big thing for him, let's not forget this, guys. He didn't know his father.
No.
Like, he doesn't have one single memory of him and his dad. That's how long ago he passed. He was a baby. He was an infant.
Yeah.
So it's not like he died when, you know, Brian Pillman Jr. was 16 years old or 18 and then said, I'm going to pick up the mantle. Like, this poor kid is in an industry where all he has to do every single day, no matter where he goes, what show, anything, there's going to be people that say, I knew your dad or I was a fan of your dad. So he's got to get bombarded with that on a consistent basis. And those people know his dad better than him. He never spent any time with him. All he has is the memories from his mom, who I guess turned out to be a little bit, you know, of a train wreck. And I don't mean insult the woman, but I believe she's passed. May she rest in peace. But, you know, that's just think of that, dude. Like, your mom kind of was devastated. Your dad's no longer here. And you're in an industry that defined your dad. And you just got to hear about it every single time you run into a fan, one of the boys, a promoter, like, and he looks just like him. So, I mean, that's tough, dude. Like, I don't know how. Oof. That'd be like growing up the son of an NFL great who passed away and you become a football player, you know?
It's like watching Creed. It's like watching Creed, you know, in real life. He very much is.
Yes, 100%. Creed
in, yeah, in his. But I, again, nothing but good things to say about Pillman, you know. So, just take that for what it is. I know my opinion don't necessarily mean anything, anybody, but I yeah, good dude.
All right, guys. Good stuff.
What's going on in the world of pro wrestling real quick? Anything cool going on? Anything
big? I haven't been watching it. You guys been watching it?
I did see The Rock's return the other night. Blood, somebody showed me that at the end of the finish of Bad Blood, the main event. It was Cody and Reigns versus Solo and Jacob. Who, by the way, has anybody come along in the last couple years that's been more impactful and just a ready-made superstar out of nowhere than Jacob fucking fought too?
Yeah, really?
And I know there was guys clamoring for him to join the E, like, for years. I know Cornette was all over that, like, for years been saying, where is he, where is he, where is he? And holy shit, bro, did he come out of nowhere? Like, not out of nowhere, but did he just come in and, like, cement himself? Like, dude, I'm right here. And it's so cool the way they present him, man, like a realistic, legit badass, like I was saying. Dragon hung it up too, right? Full time, I saw that
for the for AEW, the second
time. Moxley, that's a little different, bro. The first one, when somebody's telling you you ain't gonna do, you can't do something no more, and it's kind of out of your hands. I applaud him for coming back for that. Now we don't know you know, the real life, what it's like for him to get out of bed in the morning and go to sleep. I'm positive, as somebody who has several herniated discs and neck issues, I'm not trying to compare myself to Dragon, but I'm just saying that I know the struggles that I have sometimes. And to think that this dude wrestled, he didn't just go out there and, you know, take the one King Kong Bundy bump per match. This dude went out there and worked like fucking Okada, Ospreay, Kenny, MJF. He went out there and put it on, dude. So the fact that he gets to walk away a second time under his own wants and wishes is so cool, dude. He had that match with Nigel. I know that was big to them. Again, I'm saying Dragon like I know him like a best friend, but I met him a couple times and we sat together on a plane to Alaska once for DeAngelis. But super cool dude. Wish him all the best.
Does anyone see a future feud of Braun or Karrion versus Pillman? Sure.
The Karrion one's pretty interesting. I'm a big fan of Karrion Kross, man. I think they did so much damage to him when they called him up from NXT that first time and he had that goofy like gladiator shit on. And then that whole thing they just did with Paul Ellering and the AOP guys and all that. Like, I thought that was fucking terrible. No disrespect to any of those guys, but just him and Scarlett. Just let the goddamn two of them go out there and be their like their deal, like he was in before he came to the E. Just let him be Karrion Kross. The guy's well spoken, cuts a hell of a promo. And here's the thing, he's a legit badass in real life. Like, he could probably fucking wipe out half that locker room. But you just gotta showcase it.
You know who I like too, who came back to AEW right when Danielson left? I like Jay White. I've been a big fan of Jay White for years, and I feel like he gets overlooked because I feel like he's not as aggressive as some people. But I think the dude really knows how to work, man.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I saw a documentary on him, like from before when he was wrestling in Japan from New Zealand, and you know, before he had the facial hair and stuff. And I would say to any fans out there, he's definitely a good guy to get on the bandwagon for. Seems like a good dude to me and great wrestler.
All the pieces are in place, dude, for AEW. They just got to tweak a few things. And I hate when everybody goes, oh, this is what they got to do. You know, fuck you. You run your own company. But all the pieces are in place. I can't stand when I hear people knock other companies or, like, you know, you don't hear about how Tony Khan just donated tons of money and support and help for all the hurricane victims. Nobody reports on that. But all just negative shit. But just let them breathe, man. Let them do their thing. They just got this TV deal again. There's a couple. They got another show I think they're going to announce soon. And just all the more power to them, bro. Listen, now, if some coming and going, then let them come and go. Just keep restocking the pond.
So you saw that AEW announced they have HBO Max.
Correct.
Which, wow, right?
That's pretty cool.
So I was watching HBO Max the other night. Do you know they're bringing back Roller Jam?
Really?
Yes.
In a new format or the old shows?
Yes, new format.
Whoa.
It's more like dancing.
Now, I was going to say, are they going to have the alligator pit?
I don't know.
We were marks for the alligator pit. We just, like, every week we're like, please let somebody get thrown into it. But I'm a roller derby fan from before that.
Me too.
Guatemalan Flyer, Ralphie Valadares, Sweet, I forgot her name, but and the single best female heel manager, valet, whatever you want to call it, of all fucking time, any sport, anywhere, I don't care, wrestling, anything, is Ms. Georgia Haas from Roller Derby. Look it up. Trust me. She did an old Southern, like, sassy, like, educated, wealthy woman gimmick. Ms. Georgia Haas is the single. I can't understand how Vince didn't bring her in, dude. It would make more sense if you guys saw it. You know what I'm talking. I got to get a promo for Ms. Georgia Haas and play it on here one week. You guys,
I remember the ice box. You remember the ice box?
Wasn't his finish like he Kamala belly flopped on people on the track?
Oh yeah.
He deep freezed them. I think they call it the deep freeze.
Yep.
It was over. I still don't understand the rules of it, but
no. But do you remember when they changed it to a figure eight and you could go up the wall and get extra speed?
I don't know how they did that.
I don't know either.
I can't roller skate, full disclosure. I think I've roller skated like four times in my life. I just can't do it. I ice skated a couple of times pretty decent.
Me too.
But I can't fucking roller skate. It's like skiing. I can't ski anymore because of my knees. The last time when I got hurt, the doctor told me, listen, man, no trampolines or skiing in your future anymore. And I was like, that's fine. Me and my wife did it a couple times. And we got up so high once on a Black Diamond Mountain. I don't know. It wasn't Black Diamond. Whatever the fucking easier ones are. But she got scared up there. So we had to walk down the mountain, bro.
You
walk down a mountain, a fucking high mountain with skis on, while you're holding a woman's hand down the mountain.
That sounds miserable.
It ain't easy, bro.
Donnie, our parents used to drop us off on Sundays at the roller skating rink and just leave us for hours.
Oh, yeah. Everybody did that in Ocean County. We had one on Route 70 in Lakehurst. You just go like $5. We'll drop you off at 10 or 11 in the morning. And at night, it was a big roller gimmick was big at night. They did the lights and all that shit.
Yep. Remember couples skate? Bro, that was like a dance. That was like a dance in the gymnasium.
Brother,
like,
I was over during that, brother.
I think I lost my virginity.
That was the only time I would hit the floor. I'd want to go out on the floor and just hold on. I'd do the gimmick where I was like working it. Like, I don't really know how to skate. Help me. Hey, you know, miss, whoever you are, come over here and hold my hand.
Yeah, you lost your virginity at couples skate.
I had long hair and I was in shape, bro. I was over.
So let's bring in, it's 7:30 real quick. Let's bring in our first guest for the face-off, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to bring in Rick Blade. Let's get him in here and we're going to show a clip first of him. Are you ready for this, you guys? This is him. Well, let's get him on here so he can watch it. What's up, Rick?
Gentlemen, what's up? How are you guys?
There he is.
Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you guys.
Always, man.
Tommy, what's Donnie? How are you guys doing?
Good to see you, Rick. How you doing, bro?
Good.
Doing great, brother. So I'm excited because fans are excited that you're here too. Rick Blade, what's up, brother? Says Danger Ginger. So Blade, Ginger. I want people to understand is I want them to see you the way I see you. I understand your love for the wrestling business. And I thought to myself, how do we sum up for people that might not know that Rick Blade is as in love with the wrestling business as me or anyone else? And I think it's this clip from your wedding night. Where you end up in CZW in your actual tux. We got to watch this real quick, you guys. Check this out. Watch the crowd go nuts.
That's a dude. I don't know how he did it.
In the tux. And that was the story behind that.
Blade, what's the story behind that? Like, did you just decide to do that at the last minute?
No, I was not supposed to be at that show. I was not at all supposed to be at that show. And then my dumbass talked my absolutely amazing wife into going. I said, let's just go. Everything's done. Everyone's gone. I said, I guess we can just go and just see how everything goes. And we called John, and John's like, hey, bring your tux. And we're like, I don't have my tux, but I had a suit. I did have another suit. So that wasn't the actual wedding tux. That was just a suit that I actually had. It was very Donny B-ish, too. It was a cream color.
Sweet.
I didn't look as good as you in it, my friend, but it was very Donny B-ish. You do. And at the time, I was feuding with Mercury, and So we end up going, and John's like, hey, why don't we do this? And I'm like, okay, sure. And that's where the kind of run-in started, which with my amazing wife coming down to the ring with a piece of the actual wedding cake in her hand, distracting Brian Logan, smashing it into his face.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he just ate it.
Yeah, he just ate it. He just took that hit, And then that distracted him enough for me to do a John Cena-esque slide into the ring and put Mercury through a table. It was a good time. It looked amazing, but there is a huge part of me that regrets doing that on my wedding night.
Of course.
Now, wait, that was your actual wedding night.
That was the actual night of the wedding.
How many hours before that was the wedding or whatever?
It was that morning.
So this was the actual day of your wedding. I thought you were ribbing.
No, I'm not ribbing. That was the actual day. And the night before, I did a Jersey All-Pro show.
Wow.
So you had your actual wedding. Now, Blade, I love you, but I have to tell you this. Most people do something a little different on their wedding night. I'm just putting it out there, brother.
I will. I'm 100% truthful. That was one of the
But I love it. I love that you did that. Like, and Shorty's the best man.
He is the absolute best. I don't know any other woman that would have allowed their husband to do something that's
none. Zero. Right. Zilch.
Right.
That was.
Right.
But it was really, really cool. They probably the biggest pop I think I ever got in my life.
We didn't even know you were there. He didn't come in the locker room, Donnie.
Oh, really?
No. Just suddenly he's in the ring. We're like, what the hell is going on? We were all freaking out. It was cool. It was over.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, we didn't know. Cool. It was pretty cool, and it was a little bit regrettable to this day. I still do regret doing it, but like I said, if it wasn't for the amazing it gave me the memory, bro. Marrying that day.
Yep.
Supported. She was off. She put on a brave face and let me do it. Yeah. But yeah, she's absolutely amazing.
You're still together, so she couldn't have been that bad. Yeah.
No. Yeah, she's been putting up with me for a very long time.
Send Shorty our love and try to, and she'll be there November 2nd.
Yeah, she can hear you. She can hear you.
All right, love you, Shorty. Love you, Andrea. real quick, guys, you know, Blade, so you're going to be wrestling Simon Gotch, okay?
Yes.
When the backseats and me, when the backseats wrestled Simon at the ECW arena last year, I was very surprised to know that he followed CZW and knows our history. He actually, quoted my uneffing believable promo back to me in the ring. So he knows you. He's seen your stuff. So I hope you've been able to study his. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if I've actually told you that. And he's here right now. So let's get Simon Gotch in here right now. What's up, brother Gotch? How you doing?
Oh, I look horrible. Look at that. I look like I have not slept. But you know, that's just life. That's wrestling, right?
Life on the road.
Looking great, brother. Looking great. How you doing, man?
Doing good. And just to confirm what Johnny's saying, he's not blowing smoke. Especially in the early days of the internet, when you go on stuff like Morpheus, if you would search pro wrestling, you would always wind up getting a clip that says something like "insane crazy guy dies diving off of roof." And it would be like the clip of you jumping off of the, doing the swanton off the top of the ring truck, or the leg drop off of the basketball hoop, one of those. So,
and it's ironically, you picked both of those. I got hurt on both of them.
Admittedly, I had a feeling. I knew about the basketball hoop. I had a feeling on the swanton, because when you sit up, there's this look on your face of, I'm not, you're just like, that was a bad idea. That, like, the way you hold your shoulders, just like, nope. Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Well, no, I should have actually hit it better. Not just touch Trent with my neck.
Well, that's hindsight, always a mistake, right? You're trying to be safe and you wind up hurting yourself more.
Hindsight's always 20/20 when you dive off of a basketball court. Let's be honest, guys.
Well, there's no real way to prep for it. Like, I'm going down to the ring tonight to work out with Kenta and some guys, and I guarantee you the one thing we're not going over is how to dive off of something very high. That's not going to be on the curriculum.
Wow.
Jesus. That's great. So what are you doing? You're training with Kenta tonight?
I am. As soon as I'm done talking to you guys, I'm hopping in the car and I'm heading over to work out with Kenta.
Wow.
Nice.
Cool. Hashtag wants it, bro.
Send our love, man. Hell yeah.
You got to take this stuff serious. Look, I think a lot of people, because Rick had the sort of the gap between when he was working his initial run and now, I think a lot of people forgot that, first of all, I didn't even realize how big a dude you were, like, physically, until I started seeing you around Johnny and having been around him. Because you go back to, like, CZW, you go back to, you know, 2001, 2002, and it does not do justice to how big a dude you are, like, how physically large a human being you are.
Well, no, back then I was 165 pounds, so I was not, I'm about 30 pounds bigger now than I was then.
And you see, that is a toddler. That is a quarter of a person. That is a lot of like, you're a thick dude now. It's like, so you don't take this stuff lightly. I mean, it's obviously, you take it serious. You take your protecting your body safety, your body safety there serious. So yeah, got to take the training
serious. Much more serious than I did. I don't go into, I'm not going into arenas looking for the biggest place to jump off of anymore.
Yeah.
No, we leave that for Teddy Hart when he gets released.
Yes.
You'll be waiting. Yikes.
Yikes.
That happened at my college too, right, Blade? The thing you jumped off of, that was at my college.
Yes, that was at your college. That was the thing I got knocked out cold that one.
Yep. And
I do John a slight correction, Johnny.
Yep.
I told you the match isn't on tape. Apparently the match is on tape, but it cuts off right after the dive. So we don't see when Low-Key had the breakdown with security. Like, that is not on. Apparently that footage was never released, but the actual match up to that point is.
Right.
So that was
my
mistake.
What? But here's what's so messed up about wrestling. That's not even what lost us the building. The Weed Whacker lost us the building. Donnie, how many buildings have you lost due to Weed Whacker involvement?
It's got to be a number between zero and zero. So I'm going to say zero.
At my college, they gave me a bank. They gave me a bank account and said, "Here, run a show." Gave me the gym. Didn't charge me. And we used Weed Whackers and flew too close to the sun and it all messed
Jesus
up.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's the show you didn't ask me anything about or my opinion on what should and shouldn't be done.
Before I even met you. Before I even met you.
Smart move.
But Blade, honestly, dude, like we didn't even think anything of the Weed Whacker back then. We were just like, yeah, it's a Weed Whacker.
Well, yeah, I thought a lot about it. Like, I'm not in it, thank God. I'm not doing that. Now, John told me I didn't need to do stuff like that. Thank God.
So no Weed Whackers on November 2nd. There's nothing high to jump off of at the casino.
Let me ask you, Gotch, in NXT, on like one of the days, if you would have come out of the back with the old Weed Whacker, what would Dusty have said?
Baby, here's the problem with that Weed Whacker right now. You got to put a left side of foot to width on it. I don't know how we're going to put that in the ring. Unless you ain't gonna. You got to use that. You got to use that, baby. We got to get some color. We got to get some money drawn off that.
That's awesome.
Actually, if you want a nice, it's not exactly a CZW story, but it's along the lines of a CZW story.
By all means.
Before they had the network, they had like YouTube and everything accessible in the PC lounge. So we would watch matches in between, you know, training sessions. And one day it's me, Big Cass, Bull Dempsey, and Drake Wirtz, Drake Younger. And we decided to put on Drake's last death match from Japan with Abdullah Kobayashi.
Ooh.
And watching Jimmy and Billy just freaking out in horror, and Drake being the whole time like, "Oh man, it ain't that bad, man.
Sounds just like
him." Because he does the. There's a moment where Abdullah pinches the skin on Drake's neck and sticks a syringe through it, through the loose skin, and then gives him a pile driver.
Oh.
Damn, I was going to call that in our match. Damn.
Yeah.
You guys. Oh, well, you can do it as a double down. Don't worry. It's a false finish for us because we're bigger stars. That's.
Wow.
Yeah. The whole like syringe thing, I don't know, man. That takes it a little too far. I wouldn't let my kids watch that, I don't think.
At the end of the day, I always say the same thing. I'm not going to do it. But.
Yeah.
That's wrestling, right? You get a lot of stuff. I've told the story a lot. It's one of my favorite stories. The big ugly JD Bishop, who's actually Titus Alexander's father, and Vinny Massaro, who you might know from his time in Lucha Underground. They used to do a tag team maneuver back in the mid 2000s, where this is way before anyone else was doing it, but they were doing a Doomsday a Canadian Destroyer, where Ugly would pick the gap for the power bomb, and then Vinny would hit the Doomsday the Canadian Destroyer off his shoulders. Wow. And they told Mike Modest, of one of our trainers and of course Beyond the Mat fame, about this move. And they're describing it to him the night they're going to wrestle him and Donovan Morgan in a tag match. And Mike uttered the greatest quote in pro wrestling history. He said, "That sounds awesome. I ain't fucking taking it." And they thought he was ribbing. They were like, they were not sure if they should laugh or not. He goes, "No guys, I'm dead serious. I'm not fucking taking that. So if you want to hit the ref with it after the match, you go for it. But I ain't fucking taking it."
That's great.
And they did hit the ref with it, and the ref got a concussion. So Mike made the right call.
Hey, Mike, good old Mike was correct.
Yeah.
Unreal. So the fans wanted me to ask both you guys who your favorite opponent was in your careers, if that's something that even comes to mind, Simon.
Mr. Gotch, you can go first. What do you think?
Weirdly, if we're talking about the person I had the most chemistry with, I think it was Chad Gable.
Ooh.
We'd had a conversation very early on when he was in the PC, because he'd actually trained to be a pro wrestler way like in like 2011 or 2010 while he was working on going to the Olympics, and he was in college. He didn't make it public knowledge, which obviously would be an issue, but he trained with Eric Cannon up in Minnesota, I believe. No, it's Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Where's Cannon at?
But sounds about right.
I don't know.
And he had a couple of pro matches before that, but we were going to do a practice match in the PC one day. And he asked, and this is like, he's been there for maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And he said, "Well, what should I do?" And I said, and I looked at him and I was dead serious. I said, "Can you take me down?" Knowing the answer. I went to the Olympics. He goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, do that. Just don't kill me." Yeah, and the look on his face, he just went, like, oh shit, I know how to wrestle, don't I? I was like, yeah, dude, just do all the shit you know how to do and don't kill me. And after that, we would call one or two things, but we could just go wrestle for, you know, 10, 15 minutes without talking because, I mean, the guy's a phenom. He's not going to, you know, like, there's nothing I can do to him that he hasn't had done to him before. So I'm like, okay, I'll just go for it. And he'll either get out or he won't. Like, one of two things is going to happen. He'll either stop me or he won't. So it does take all the pressure off, and you find there's a nice rhythm with that. And I think that's really what you look for with that sort of like your best opponent. It's either the person that brings something very special out of you or this person that makes you so comfortable that you don't have to think, you just act.
I feel you there. How about you, Richard?
Well, I know this is going to sound a little weird, but it was probably Trent.
Yeah.
I wrestled Trent probably more than I wrestled anybody. Maybe Trent. I probably wrestled Trent the same amount I wrestled maybe Loki, but I trusted Trent more than I trusted Loki. Loki, I think he's a unique wrestler. You have to kind of just know how to deal with him and just
look at Gotch laugh.
Grin and bear it. But why are you laughing? Because
he's thinking the same thing I am.
Because everyone says the same thing. Yeah. Brooklyn Brandon is cool.
Yeah.
Like if you're dealing with Brooklyn Brandon, he's a perfectly cool dude. Loki, in ring can be a challenging person because he has a very willful personality.
Yes.
I'm being as polite and political as I can about this. And that can be difficult for people to work with because a lot of it is like you're doing it. There's that feeling of like, if I don't do it his way, this might break down. And even if that's not the case, there's the concern. And the concern is like, then you need to wrestle more conservatively, where someone like Trent, if you trusted Trent more,
yes,
as I said, you're going to be more willing to like, you know that if Trent says he's going to be there, he's going to be there.
Yeah. I never had an issue worrying about where Trent was going to be or him not catching me or me not catching him. We worked really well off of each other. And to tell you the truth, the two people I probably trusted the most in the ring is Trent and, believe it or not, Nick Gage.
Oh
yeah, I could see that.
Gage is one of the few people I ever trusted to do anything with my wife, and she trusted him too. Yep, she just said yep from the living room. Wow. Nikki would hurt himself to save you getting hurt.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean by that. But yeah, I trusted Nikki with so Nikki and Trent I worked better with because Trent was more my style at the time, but Nikki I would trust with anything.
And it was good that you could see him at the school too. You know, we were all at the school together all week. So we all worked out together and learned off each other. We all sharpened each other, honestly.
Mm-hmm. You know who I never trusted? That's stiff ass, unbreakable Johnny Cashmere. No, I'm just kidding.
Piece of shit.
He's a real prick, that guy.
Him and his garbage bat shots.
Me and you had the bat match, brother. Remember that?
I remember the bat match. I saw the bat match.
I went back and watched it all recently. If you go to the CZW studios or something, you can pay like 10 bucks. And I was like, I'll just pay the 10 bucks and watch these things. And I watched all of our old stuff, man. I just love watching it. I do. And, you know, Simon, I wanted to tell you the Lunacy TV episode, the Juggalo Championship Wrestling show, the episode 7, you cut a promo in that. That I think is some of your best work you've ever done. And I know your work. I've followed your career. I think you're doing some of your best work today, brother. That's why I wanted to get you on here, just so people can just see how you talk and how you relate to people. Because I don't know, man. It's like you're unrehearsed and it works. And I think that's important.
It's called autism.
What's it called?
Autism. It's being on the autism spectrum. Well, but I do appreciate that, Johnny. I really
you
do.
Make it look good. So, but yeah, you are. He's doing some of his best work, Blade. You should see this promo. You got to check out Lunacy episode 7 and see the promo he did and the believability that comes through and the look in your eye, the dead eyes that you put on in the promo were very.
I legitimately have no idea what I said.
It was convincing.
You catch the promo up on JCW social media, up on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and you could catch it recently on JCW Lunacy episode 7, which is on Psychopathic Records YouTube.
Yep.
No, Johnny, when you told me that you were going to have me work Simon on the second, I immediately went on YouTube and, of course, started watching some of the old stuff and everything like that, and I'm very honored to be in the ring. I'll be very honored to share a ring with him. And I wanted to come on here and I probably much apologize now for the way I'm going to be in the ring with you. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Hold on a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
If I know Rick Blade, that's his way of saying he's going to blow spots and be the shits. He's not saying he's going to hurt you.
Well, here's the thing is that I think he's trying to lure me into a false sense of security. That's the thing. He's trying to do the little brother thing. Like, hey man, don't run me too hard. Don't make me work too hard. Yeah. And then it's all of a sudden going to be like,
yeah, false sense 93
Stan Hansen in there, just taking my head off left and right.
Once the adrenaline starts, who knows? Rick Blade, we call him Andrew Dice Blade because he's the nicest guy in the world. When he gets on the microphone, it's F this, mother effing this. It's like a whole new side of him comes out when he gets in front of the crowd. And I'm counting on that happening November 2nd, Simon. Unfortunately, at your expense.
Honestly, I thought you called him Andrew Dice Blade because he was secretly Jewish.
Well, what was that curtain?
Oh, well. So everyone assumed Andrew Dice Clay was Italian because of the gimmick and the accent and everything, but he's actually Jewish. Is it?
Yes. So yes.
I thought you called him Andrew Dice Blade because he was secretly Jewish. Was a joke.
No.
Yeah, you have to change his name to Andrew Dice Clay. That would be.
I'll come out in the leather jacket, the big glasses. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
No, mic work is not my specialty. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm a believer that mic work is overrated.
If it hasn't happened by now, it isn't going to happen. But no, mic work was never, especially no matter what John tried to get me to do, I was never good on the mic, ever.
Well, when you and Shorty renew your vows in the SPO ring eventually, you'll cut your promos then.
She's laughing in the room.
We'll get you the suits.
Bring the same
but guys, we're about 8 minutes away from Trip TV. Simon, you're gonna go wrestle with Kenta right now. Are you gonna like tell him, yo, man, you're standing in for Blade right now? Like, how does that work? How do you train with Kenta? What's that like?
Oh, it's just like normal training. He's a human being.
Yeah, I know, but I would be like, what do you do with him? Do you roll around? Do you do tackle drop down? Do you call a fake match? Like, what do you do?
Oh, brother, you think I call spots?
I don't know. Yeah. That's what I'm asking you. How do you train with Kenta? What do you do with him?
Well, the general way I train with people is almost always the same thing, which is just wrestle around and find something. Just find it. Whatever you're doing, find it. If you start getting into a groove, roll with it. See how it feels. I think one of the problems, and this is just a personal opinion, and you can get more information like this if you attend the seminar that I'm actually teaching before the show on November 2nd. Yep.
Good call.
That Donnie B is graciously covering three.
Correct.
I believe there's still two more available, three people to go to the seminar for free.
Yes.
Yep.
But one of the problems I feel like happens a lot with training is that people get so focused on recitation and not, you know, creation. They get really focused on, I need to do this spot and I need to do it in this order and I need to do this at this point in time. And there's no organic feeling to their matches. Their matches all feel very pre-planned. I went to a show recently just to see some friends and watch. And I was talking to my buddy, Kerry Offal, one of the Carnies from Tennessee. Not a Carney from Tennessee, tag team the Carnies.
Tag team, yeah.
And, and I don't know, Carney from Tennessee, that's pretty wide.
Oxymoron, right?
Yeah.
But I told him because there were some people he knew on the show as well. And I was like, my biggest issue with the show was everyone was trying to so hard to be the same sort of cookie cutter face or heel. Like everyone was trying to do like 1986 Ric Flair or 1985 Michael Hayes or something along those lines. And I just remember thinking to myself, I was like, guys, there's other wrestling and there's other people. And as an individual, you should be trying to find what's unique about you. There's a great quote from Bruce Lee that was, martial arts are at their core honest self-expression. And really art at its core is honest self-expression. So if you're going into pro wrestling and, you know, people always say I found success when I just started using my own personality and turned it up to 11. It's because you're honestly invested in it. It feels like something that's believable because it's you. Like, it's really just you. That's the mistake guys make. They think they've got to come up with this really insane gimmick or character. And the hardest thing with a gimmick is really finding what part of that is you. Because the guys who make a gimmick work, it's almost always they're able to latch an aspect of their personality onto it. Tyler Breeze is not naturally a pretty boy. He's a freaking hillbilly from Canada. Like, actual Tyler Breeze as a person is from a small rural town in Canada. And he told me a story one time that he said, thank God my mom was sane, because he said when he was going to turn 18, he wanted to get a Goldberg tattoo on both arms, the barbed wire, and then he wanted to get his eyebrow pierced. And he said, if I'd done that, it would have ruined my gimmick, you know, 10 years later that I didn't even know I was going to
have. Yeah, yeah.
But when he started doing the Tyler Breeze gimmick, the model aspect of it, he was talking to Howard Fine, who's his acting coach. He's very high level. He works with like Will Smith and what's his name? Who's the Brad Pitt? He works with Brad Pitt, like a lot of well-known people in Hollywood. And Dusty would pay for Howard Fine to come into the PC and work with us. And Howard, you know, asked Breeze, he's like, well, what aspect of Tyler Breeze is like you? And he goes, none of it. He goes, and I looked at him for a second. He goes, what do you get your hair done? And he goes, oh, well, you know, I have to go to this woman, a very specific stylist up in Tampa, because I don't like the people down here. And she's the only one I trust to do my hair. And, you know, so I'll do the 90-minute drive to Tampa to get my hair done. And she, and Howard just looks at him and goes, so you have nothing in common with a primping, you know, supermodel, and you're driving 90 minutes to get your hair done. And it hits him real quick. He's like, oh shit. Oh, I, that's it, isn't it? It's like, yeah, you, that's in you somewhere. There's an aspect of your personality you can use to attach to that character that, even if it's not you, you can understand their mindset. You can understand their mentality. Regal would quiz us on that. You would ask your in character, what was your character's 12th birthday like? And you had to have an answer or not have an answer. And then you get that look, that Regal look that you get when you do something wrong.
Right.
But it's this idea that I think a lot of people get really caught up, even in promos. I always say it's like the best promos are always the ones that feel like they're honest, that feel like you're really expressing yourself. Yep. Even like if you want to go back to something really weird, the Atsushi Onita promos. He cut the same promo every night after his match. But every night you believed it because he was crying and he was so emotionally invested in his own words that even when you don't speak Japanese, you're like, dude, this guy believes what he's saying. Yep. And if you believe what you're saying, to paraphrase Johnny Cashmere, it doesn't matter if you believe in it, I have to believe in it. And if I believe in what I'm saying, they're going to believe in it eventually because they're going to feel that belief and they're going to trust it and they're going to be able to invest in it emotionally. Because wrestling is always this battle between emotional investment and suspension of disbelief. The more you ask me to suspend disbelief, the harder it is for me to emotionally invest. But the more I emotionally invest, the more I'm willing to suspend disbelief. And that's what everything is. That's everything in your match. That's everything in your character. That's everything in your promo. If you tell someone your character is a space cowboy, okay, well, those aren't fucking real.
Right.
So right off the bat, you're putting my fucking suspension of disbelief all the way up here. So even if you want me to believe in your shit, you're like, I can't. So no matter how good you are, you're trying to overcome that suspension of disbelief you're demanding of the audience. But if you just go out there, I mean, it's why, you know, as silly as, again, it sounds, the more closely tied to who you are, what you're doing is, the easier it is to draw the audience in. And a character like Steve Austin, was a literal white trash, redneck, wife-beaten, drinking piece of shit. Like, that was who Steve Austin, Steve Williams, the person was. So when he starts doing that as a character, people are like, oh, this is believable. It's like, well, yeah, no shit. Yeah. Man beat his wife so bad he had to flee from police for 3 months. You know?
Like, oh, my God. Dude, like, Simon, you always give us these nuggets of wisdom that I count on. And, like, I don't know how you do it, but that was some good stuff. And I need to think about some of that stuff. Because a lot of the stuff you just dropped on us is some real heavy shit that I want to actually think about and dissect in my head for the next day or two. But unfortunately, we got to go in a minute because Trip TV is about to start. If everyone checks out Pro Wrestling.
Keep time, it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, not only that, but you got to get to Kenta.
Yeah.
You got to get
you guys so much.
Thank you, brother. This was awesome.
Kill it over there.
Yeah.
Rick Blade, any last words?
Appreciate you guys having me on. It was actually awesome to meet Mr. Gotch. As always, great to see you gentlemen as well.
Thank you, sir.
Go watch some Trip TV. Watch the best independent tag team in the world right now.
All right. Oh, man. Thank you.
You are very welcome. I'm not saying it because it's the truth. It's the absolute truth.
Nope. We try, there man. There's the Trip TV link posted again at the bottom for everyone watching. It is currently premiering on the YouTube.
Right,
we should be in countdown mode right now.
All right, guys. Take care. Donnie, always.